Lord God, I thank you so much for your people. I thank you for the ability to worship you. Lord, I thank you that it's so evident during the time of worship that you're here, that your presence is here. Lord, I know that we raised a sweet-smelling incense to your name, that you're here to receive it. Lord, I pray that we would not stop with just the songs, but Lord, I pray that we would act in worship of receiving your word right now, so that we would act in worship by going out and living it. Lord, we would go out and be good fathers and husbands, good wives and mothers, good children, and most importantly, good representation of your gospel truth, Lord. And I pray that the word that we receive right now today would help us do that better. You would give us a revelation of the truth from Romans chapter 12, and you would use Pastor Sean to do that well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, son. I have a tendency when anything exciting happens or I'm spoke about or I love something a lot, I get passionate. Any passionate people out there, like, I just packed. Yeah, thank you, Christian. Like, I use my hands a lot to talk. I got a technique I teach about fold your hands, put it in your desk, because I get in trouble for waving my hands. This is not yelling to me. This is expressing my passion. I'm not yelling at you. I said, what are you doing right now? I get passionate. So this is a passion chapter for me. I got little notes in there that says, dial it back, bro, a little bit, you know. We'll see how it goes. It's been an epic study of God's Word, a book of Romans. And I have 7 points out of about 4,000 points we could have picked that we had. I'm sure you guys remember every 4,000 of them. But I didn't. I broke it down to 7 today, okay? Things that we've got on the hard road that we should put in your bag. You should put it in your foundation. You should stand on. God alone is God. God has his ways. God can. And will do as he pleases. Swallow that for a minute. Chew on that just a moment. God will and can do as he pleases. Why? Because refer to number one. God alone is God. 4, he doesn't serve us. Say, shocking. He doesn't serve us. We serve him. He doesn't serve us. We serve him. Jesus alone is the only way. Per Jesus, per the word of God. Jesus alone is the only way. All good fathers have unpopular rules. All good fathers have unpopular rules. And the last one, we are the church now. Say, I'm the church. So those are some points that we can jump off into the hard road. And I want to jump into Romans 12:1. And so, Jess, I might be going so slow at times, you'd be like, Pastor, everyone's asleep. It's okay. Just you and I will be paying attention. Romans 12:1. And so, I'm going to stop right there. Paul's been writing God's church, right? This is chapter 12. There's a bunch of letters. He's writing God's church. So I am the church. Paul's been writing a lot of God stuff to the church. Lots of words going out to the church. Says, dear brothers and sisters, say, we are the church. Yeah, the church is described this way, as God's word says, lots of things. Here's some descriptions of the church. Dr. Heidi brought it up a couple weeks ago. A body, a bride, a family, and an army. And that should be all the experience. Like, you need all those in your church experience. I am the church, right? All those need to be part of your church experience. You need to be part of the body. The vine, connected. Talked a lot about if you're not connected to the roots, you start. I've got it from this point forward. Ever do that? God set you up. You were a mess, and he set you up, and you're like, yeah, I'm rolling now. I got it. And you thought you had it, and then there you are in a ditch again. It's like, I didn't have it. I had it for a minute. A little minute I had it, you know. We're a bride. We're fiercely loved by our groom. We're a family. I don't know if you know any perfect families. I'm not aware of any. And lots of times there's a lot of family love and some family squabbling. Anybody? Part of a family? There you go. An army. If you've ever been a part of a bunch of humans going to do off something together, there is unity and strength in it. And also there's opportunity for division. Christian people, he says to, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to us as family. Sometimes behind the pulpit, they got to have a family talk. You know? Sometimes I worry about visitors when they come in, like, oh, this is a tough one to come to church today, you know. He says, I plead with you. Dear family, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. To give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. What's the prime thing he's done for us? Say Jesus. I could stop there. I don't have to go into any other little thing he's ever done for you in your life. Jesus alone. If you know him as Lord and Savior, hell's not your option. That's enough. Like that, I talked to a bunch of school friends this week. They kept blowing me up with obscenities in a nice way. You know, like if you ever got friends from the hood, they call you a name sometimes, a cuss word, and people in the other room go, oh, he just cussed at Pastor. Yeah, but he did it away. They know me. We go back a ways. He was talking language that he was appreciating something that happened in my life, and it was this. You're not the same guy you used to be. All of us see you, your life, and we're shocked. Like, we're proud of you. I don't start crying because I want to tell them I was proud of them. As you know, some of their doctor degrees and they're running million-dollar companies and they used to be knuckleheads. I wouldn't trust them with $5 and see what God's done in their life. And then they just encourage me. But God's done many things for me, but nothing greater than Jesus. He says, give your life that you're living now, family, completely over to him. Your life for his use. As he sees fit. That's the hard part. Your life for his use as he sees fit. I have a bracelet that I have to wear a lot. And it reminds me you don't have a choice. I called you. I told you to do this. You're the son of God. You're the leader. You don't want to deal with this, do you? No. I want to sell everything and move to like place of rolling brooks and grazing cattle. Deer eating out of the palm of my hand, Mr. Rayborn. Can you imagine? Where's Pastor? Oh, he's in the back 40. That's not what he asked me to do right now. It's not my back 40 season. It's, oh, trauma and crisis. Got it, Lord. I'm in. Use me as you see fit. I don't have a choice. Use me as you see fit. He says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living. Let them be intentionally lived. A human who walks out what he says and what he believes. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Wow. Highest form of worship is obeying his word. When we don't want to. Because I was debating with him today. He's like, you know, Lord, I could be better at this. And I got in my list. And he said, I want to talk to you about all the things that you could have done and you didn't do. And I'm proud of you for that. What are you talking about? He goes, you know how many times you could have been tempted in this and you just shut the door? You know how many times you wanted to go out? There's nothing where I'd be cranking Bob Seger at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But you didn't. You went into your prayer closet. Instead of being hitting the bag to three doors down, you went down into worship. Thank you. And I just started bawling this morning. Like, Lord, what else? He said, no, I want to thank you. Worship is obedience to what he asked you to. That's the highest form of worship. Songs and words are good. And he asks us, you can't say, well, I don't worship. I don't sing on Sunday morning. I don't raise my hand. Why? He says he asked for that. Actually, it says command. He requires it. So if you sit there, the Spirit of God is moving and you're not worshiping, you're not in obedience. It's not true worship. Just because you're hearing songs of worship doesn't mean you're worshiping. But words are good. And he asks us for them. But words and emotion themselves, as far as worship is concerned, where's Hannah? Is never enough.
Never.
Go on, more. I want more.
Oh, I don't know.
Never. Yeah, you can. You got a baby in your hands. You got
enough. Never enough.
Yes, there we go. It's never enough. It's never enough. Never enough. The hard road can equip you for his service, or you can stay broken on the hard road forever. You can sit next to someone on your bench right now and stay broken, or you can let the hard road transform us into what it's meant us to be, right? God has a way. He wants things done. Very particular way. There's a way that my bed is supposed to be made. Not supposed to be that blesses my wife when I make the bed according to her ways and standards, as well as how I fold the towels. Derek, you? Yes. Towel folding, they never taught me that in premarital counseling. There's going to be a lot of ways to fold towels. No matter what your way is, it's going to be wrong. So when your wife comes, she will teach you how to fold the towels. And it's going to take you longer than it should to learn the way. Get on with it. There's a way. God has a way. That's just one verse that we hit. Not at your neighbor like this. It's going to be something today. It's going to be something. Romans 12:2. swinging a hard one here. Romans 12:2. Don't copy
the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Say, don't do it.
But let God transform you. Let God transform you. Let God transform you. Let him? Wait a second. Let him? Shouldn't that be easy? Let him. Since you're dead to yourself, anybody been baptized?
You said, I'm dead to me.
I'm dead to me, alive to him. I don't even need a bracelet, Pastor. That's how hardcore I am. I'm dead to myself. And plus, it's me who serves him. He doesn't serve me. I got that down. I know the points. Let God transform me. Yes, sometimes you got to let God transform you because you don't want him. You want transformation, but the let God part is hard because I would choose my transformation. I would like to be super skinny and ripped with just watching a video of someone else working out. Lord, an anointing, fall upon me. Wow. What was your plan, Pastor? I watched the video. Dude, you should see it. It's awesome. You know, you got to let the transformation happen. Let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think. Say, by changing the way I think. How do you get transformed into a new person? By changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We could camp right there for a week. Because 99% of the problems in our life is we have broken thinkers. Our thinkers are broken. We could go on for a little bit, and before you know it, my friend didn't text me back. It's been about 4 minutes. They're just texting me, man. She didn't. He didn't. I can't. Is he mad at me? I baptized him. Why is he not? Oh my gosh. I think he hates me now. I will never talk to him again. Man, it can get there. Sometimes your thinker's broken, bro. Talk to your brother. What you're thinking might not be what you're supposed to be thinking. Get what God's thinking, then you'll be thinking. Don't. You want to change the problems of most of our life? Most of our problems can come back to the way we think. You want a recipe for that? Let God change the way you think. Anyone need transforming? The church, us, cannot be transformed without letting him, without allowing him, without giving him access to change the way we think. It's only two verses in and I'm not even done. Then, if you let him change the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Anybody want to know God's will for your life? It might be you got a broken thinker. God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Those verses are enough for the church to walk out the door on. But I got some more minutes. Are you needing more transformation? Then say, let God change the way you think. I want us to recall back to episode 10. I know that you remember every episode in great detail. So I don't want to insult your intelligence. Like, I could repeat back to you the whole message. Cody's like, Pastor, want me to do it right now? I'll repeat the whole message. But other than Cody, I want to refresh us that Paul talked a little bit about order and proven authority, right? And sending. Remind you. Romans 12, 3 through 5. Because of the privilege and authority of God that he's given me, I give each of you this warning. Look to your left. Say, listen. It's a warning. Say back to that person, you listen. Yeah. Don't think you are better than you really are. Warning. 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 Your thinker's broke. If you think you're better than you really are, you got a broke thinker. He said, this is a warning. He said, hey, here's a cool thing. I was going to throw this in. Let you just ponder. He said, no warning. You know, if I should put explosions up. Andrew, I should have been ready. You know, warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Pastor Justin took all of chapter 11 to tell us, don't watch out for pride. Then he drops this bomb. Be honest. Just be honest. authentic. Be honest. Come on, be honest. Where are you at? You broke thinker? Yeah, be honest. Be honest. What do you need? What could you use? What is God saying to you that's hard? Be honest. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Dr. Heidi talked a lot about that. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. That's very people-y for me. I'm not a very people-y person. I don't know. You've been here for a minute. We go, we know, Pastor. Dr. Heidi's people-y. You're kind of, you know, you're beige when it comes to people-iness. You know, I'll get in a big crowd, and about 10 minutes later, you see me like at church picnics. I'm like doing the back shuffle out to the outer edge. You know, I'm sitting out there with a Coke Zero and maybe a hoagie, some pozole, and I'm just like, hey, what's up? You know, she's out. She's in the middle of the hive. People-y. So she's there. But the reality is, no matter how fringe I am and people-y, we all belong to each other. We all have accountability in each other's lives as part of a family. Right? Romans 2, 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts. Gifts are doing certain things well. Gifts are doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. I want to tell you how the authority of this place works. This is how this church works. I happen to be like the head pastor here, so this falls under my shoulders. If you feel like if you've had a proven prophetic gift in your life and you feel like God has given you something, please come up to me during worship and let me know. Or if you feel it's like after church thing, let me know what God is telling you. Maybe you're trying to, I feel like I do. I don't know if I have a prophetic gift, but I feel like a lot of times I know what God's saying and then you say it. Like today I felt like, okay, then hit me up. I'd love to hear that. Sometimes I'll have you share that. God told you, I said, like, well, here's the mic. I feel like that's God. Here it is. Sometimes I might say, hey, you're growing. Maybe I'll share that in the context of my message because I think that fits in. Maybe I'll have you share it privately. Like, no, you don't need to shout out that to Ed. You don't need to tell him. You don't need to tell him his knees are stumbling you. You can't look at his knees. You don't need to tell him that. Whew, this is some flashy knees. You know. Sometimes, honestly, I won't share it at all. And if I miss it, I'm the guy that has to stand before God for shepherding here because of that. That's part of a weight. So I try to take those things seriously, and I don't try to power trip on it. I try to chew on it. But if you got a gift, I want to know, you know. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. Dr. Heidi's sermon again, don't judge other Marthas, you know. If serving's your gift, then just do it for them. You don't got to say, hey, serving's my gift. Yeah, see me serving? I'm serving right now. I'm folding these towels perfectly. Except for the third one down, I just kind of shoved it in there. You won't notice that one. Doing a great job. Do you notice? Do you notice me serving? No, that's not a gift. So if you got a gift, just use it. Just use it. If you're a teacher, teach well. How do you teach well? You pray and prepare, you know? I don't think many of the children's churches are just rolling. I don't know what the lesson is. I'll flip it over here. Ellie, read page 5. That's the lesson. That's not doing it well. You know, that's not prepping. That's not doing it well. Also, if you're like, if you feel called to be a teacher and you're like, man, I teach it. I just feel like I got that gift of teaching. You know, go see the children's church coordinator immediately. I'm sure we could find a spot in the rotation. You know, yes, we can, Dr. Heidi says. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. Say, do it. Use your gift without looking back for your paycheck. I encourage everyone else, and no one ever encourages me. Whew. Just use your gift. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Take the responsibility seriously. Like, that's something that's the biggest weight in my life, is being the senior pastor of this church. I take it seriously, and I constrain over this move, and I'm trying to hear God. I don't want to miss a single thing, let alone in this message where God has us here, stay, go. I take it seriously. I hope you take the things God gives you responsibility. I hope if you're married. Okay. If you're married, take your spouse seriously. Responsible for your spouse. I didn't say just husbands. I didn't say just wives. If you feel like God's given you a gift to serve in anywhere in the community, in this church, or any place in the world, if you don't steward the first thing he's given you, you get no shot. Why? Because you're not stewarding it. Your spouse should be better because of you. Well, they don't. I don't talk. Use your gift. But that. Say, I am the church. I am the church. I'm the church. I'm the little church. Take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, say, do it gladly. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. All right, I gotta go be nice. I'm a greeter this morning. I just want to say, hey, get in there, sit down, shut up, and sing when you're supposed to. Next. What? You're limping in here, Pastor Sharon? When are you going to be healed? That scooter annoys me. No, do it gladly. Well, people go, wait, they love me here. They love when I come. They're family. Like, family's coming through the door. How you doing? I like when the cousins first see each other for the first time. It's like pandemonium breaks out. Like, you just saw each other last Sunday. Ah, cousins! You know, they start rolling around like a ball. Like, whoa! They're happy that they see their cousins. You know that? I'm not saying roll around like a ball, but I'm saying if it's your gift, do it gladly. Right. Don't get weary in your well-doing. Just keep both your gift, and your eyes focused on him. Keep your gift and your eyes focused on him. Romans 12:9. Love is to be sincere, authentic, and active, the real thing. Without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Hate. I thought hippie Jesus would never use these words. You know, when I first got saved, it was like a love the one you're with. You know, that's what Jesus is like. Yeah, he's kind of like a cool dude that's telling me sweet stuff. And he's got a robe. He's really smooth. He's just gentle as a lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He's a lot more than just the Lamb of God, though he is the Lamb of God. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. That's a strong word. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Don't even tolerate it. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Man, sometimes your brother's in a mess and it's hard, but help him. Right? Like a barrel of monkeys. He just needs a monkey to grab him and a monkey to grab him and just pull each other out of the barrel. Right? They help each other. We're the body. Right? Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. I knew every moment they were yelling and laughing and saying I was ugly. What happened to you? You're ugly now, you know? There was brotherly affection in that. I knew they weren't calling me ugly. They were talking to me like, I can pick on you like nobody else can because I know you. They were using my nickname a bunch in the background. One of my friends going, Skip, give me sunshine. Shh, you'll wake my family. My wife's listening to every word in the other room. I'm going to have accountability for what you say to me. Settle down. But there's a brotherly affection. There's a brotherly affection when I know some of your stories and what you guys have been through. So when I pray for you, there's a brotherly affection that comes out. I go, oh, I don't. Or, you know, you're selling your houses. Like, oh, I know how that feels, Jim Brown. I got you. Well, I care about my sister. I want her to get a top price. Lord, I don't want her struggling. She's a nice lady. I want her and Kevin to have the best. I said, you know, brotherly affection. You come to me and say, I'm having some trouble. Or, you know, Kaylee's like, I need a hoagie. Whatever, you know, brotherly affection. I got you. You know, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. Here's a little example. When it comes to the last piece of cake that you love, here's a test if you love your spouse. Do you give them the best bite that they ask for? Or do they get what's left of the fork they caught you finishing the cake with? You can lick that fork, baby. It's good icing. It's homemade. It's really good. You should have tasted the cake. It's awesome. Awesome. Give preference to one another in honor. Never lagging behind in diligence. A glow in the spirit. I don't even know what to do with that. I don't think I've ever been a glow in the spirit in my life. I need to work whatever that is. I don't know. Lord, show me. Help me be a glow. I guess be a beacon. Do stuff in me that shines out you and not me. I want to glow that way. Enthusiastically serving. Enthusiastically serving the Lord. Constantly rejoicing in hope. Worship happens outside of this place every Sunday too. It could happen in your car. It could happen in your bedroom. It could happen in your backyard. It could happen on your patio. Happen with a mouse in a house, with a box, with a fox. Here or there, Sam, I am. Worship is everywhere. Constantly rejoicing in hope. Steadfast and patient in distress. Ooh. Okay. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Like, I'm committed. What, my phone's set? I get up at this time of day. Why? Start the coffee. And so I can pray before I go to work. I pray over you before I leave in the morning. I pray. I set time aside. What? Yeah, right in the middle of my favorite show. The timer, I got to fix that timer. Why? Because that's not a good time for me. You got 23 other hours. Find a good time. Devoted to prayer. Continually seeking. You should not think you're so smart. Don't be prideful. You never arrive in a place in God where you just go, I'm good now. There's like Jesus, Moses, me, David, Joshua. You know, no. Continually seek wisdom, guidance, and strength. Continually seek wisdom, guidance, and strength. Contributing to the needs of God's people. So I am the church. Contributing to the needs of God's people. Giving checks on all levels. God's people need a lot of different things. Pursuing the practice of hospitality. I know it's a hard road. It's contrary to the world's way of living. God's hard road, though, creates great things. His hard road is actually a good road. He's a good father. He just has unpopular rules sometimes. Romans 12:14. Here's an unpopular rule. This is one of the ones I would, if I were like, hey, let's all pray about this. Do you think this is the word of God? We spent time, he was in the room and we felt his presence and he had confirmed this is it. I'd be like, well, you need to pray again. Why? I don't like this one. I'm like, Lord, is that you? It's probably Peter. That's more Peter. Peter wants this in there. Paul wants this. This. Anyone else not want this in there? Yeah, we all vote. No, that's not how it works. It's the whole word of God. Here it is. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. What if I had a camera in your car? What if at every local roundabout you recorded everyone who went around there and the bad things they said about the person in front of them who doesn't know how to use a roundabout? What if, you know, on the 202, right, where the 60 and the 202 come together and it gets a little crazy? What if your dash camera recorded everything you said to the guy in the Ford truck who cut you off three times? Well, I got some work, don't y'all? I got some work. I'm not cussing, but in my head I go, you can't hit any buggins. Or I'll say, hey, Gina, you don't drive 40 in the left lane on the 60. I'm yelling with my hand at Gina. I don't know if that's her name, but she's Gina. Well, that's not cussing. You didn't use any of the major cuss words. Well, I was kind of cussing. I was telling Gina she's a terrible driver. My attitude was replete with stinkiosity. Don't curse them. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Does the church need a little work on that? Blessing your enemies? You just got it in your mind, like, I just can't wait to bless them. Every time they yell at me and tell you terrible names, I just go, Lord, bless them. Actually, let's go buy them a sandwich. That's not usually our first go-to. The hard road is hard. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Okay, I can do that. I like a good joke. And if you're sad, I'm in there. I care. I'm invested. Here's the hard part. It says read it 55 times. I wrote that to myself. I won't do that to you. But when I was prepping, I go, they need to hear this 55 times. Live in harmony with each other. Live in harmony with each other. Stupid little controversies. I talked about the funeral. Then talk about a pastor's hard weekend started with a funeral for me. And then Romans 12. I'm like, oh, Lord, do I have the capacity? But it comes down to there are so many things that keep us out of harmony that's ridiculous. If I preach in a hat on stage, it causes disharmony. If I read the New Living, it's disharmony. If I talk about what husbands should do, it's disharmony. Oh, if I talk about what, the disharmony can be caused at a drop of a hat. But the problem is we got to let God change the way that we think. Our thinker is broken. I want to be transformed. And one of those things it says to me is to bless those who persecute you and live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Don't think you know it all. Sometimes at Ethos Clinic, it's a challenge for me when people that are clearly broken and have some dysfunctional damage in their life and I feel so bad for, they're still acting like they know it all. You're coming to counseling and you've been telling us therapies we should be giving you. Well, why don't you just do them then? So come and see us. Never come into those situations you want change and think you know more than him, the changer. Right? Come on, man. Dr. Heidi's a proven specialist. How'd you end up here? Like, don't be too proud. Get some real help. Say, eh. Eh. Don't think you know it all. Eh. Never, Hannah.
Never, never.
Never more. Two more nevers.
More nevers?
Two more.
Never, never.
Thank you. Two more nevers. Never, never pay back evil with more evil. Don't raise your hand if you're a revenge seeker. My hand just keeps wanting to go up. Don't use evil ways, but be transformed. Often, I think of, I know a guy. We could take care of this building thing in a minute. Oh, don't entertain that. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see. There's the aglow part. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. All right, Hannah, in just a second, this should be your last one coming up. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Dear friends, never.
Never, never.
Is that weird? I'll hire you.
Okay.
Never. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Never take revenge. Leave it up into God's hands. How easy is that a lot of times? That's hard. But on the flippity flip, if you're a human, don't set yourself up for receiving the righteous anger of God. Don't do things that God has go, well, that's a consequence, and now my righteous anger is going to be leashed upon you. Don't put yourself there. That's what he talked about authorities and stuff. Don't just concentrate on you, Muggsy. Don't concentrate on someone else. Don't elbow them about their righteousness. Don't elbow them about what. Focus up. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will. When God says he will, what happens? He will. I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Say instead. Instead. That's how we should say it too. Kaylee, instead. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Now, I like that one. It's like, oh, you're not getting it then. Yeah, back to square one. It's a revenge thing. I'll be so nice to you that I'll heap burning coals upon your head. Nope. The letter of the law was working great. The spirit, not so good. Okay, Lord, I got to work on that. I need to get a new bracelet about praying for my enemies. Don't let evil conquer you. Don't let evil conquer you. Don't let evil conquer you. Say it's a choice. It's a choice. I won't say things like that app on your phone's a choice. I won't say things like that email's a choice. I won't say things like that's a choice. But we know the choices we make. That's that third donut's a definite choice. The second one was deserved. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So you ready for this? You're not at church early, super early, I think. We'll see ya. Could you stand with me if you're the church? Have you given him the whole body of your life? Like, have you given him the whole body of your life? Like, for use in every area, he can be Lord. Have you given that? If you haven't, this is like a great day to start doing that. This week, all of us, I want us to let God transform our thoughts. I need help with transforming thoughts. You know what I mean? I have a propensity to worry before I pray. Anybody else? And that can send me down a rabbit hole. Right? I want us to commit to prayer this week to let God transform our thoughts. How about this? Let's not copy the world's way so much. And you know what that means to you. You might not have any of that. You know, but if it hits you, go, I know what he's talking about. I can't be wearing that Snoop Dogg shirt. Yes, you can. He got saved. It's okay. Just get the saved version of the shirt, you know. The Jesus version. Well, I don't know what your thing is, but you might have a thing. How about this? Not just let God transform us, and let's not copy the world. How about let's just be humble? You know what that changes in our life? Everything. Let's conquer evil this week. You want to conquer evil? I want to conquer evil. I'm tired of even fighting with evil. I just like to conquer it, be done. I'm the kind of thing like let's conquer evil, and let's cut his head off. And then let's party with that head on a spike somewhere. Evil, take that. Obviously, I have issues. It's deep issues of revenge that I need to let go. But he says to hate evil, to attack it like it's destroying your family. Like if we saw an actual, if the spiritual world was opened up and we saw the actual evil that was attacking our friends and family, we would be fierce. If your prayers mattered, it would be fierce. I want us to pray fiercely this week about conquering evil, and not just your own life. Look around the room. Picture a face. I'm praying for Christians this week, conquering evil. I'll help you conquer evil this week. I got you, Pastor Justin. I see you, man. I'll conquer my mind. Conquer evil this week. Tim, got it? We're going. I'm praying. I got you, Nick. I see you. I don't know what tries to conquer you, but I pray that you conquer it this year. I pray that you conquer whatever that thing is, so let God transform us. Let the episode of Romans 12, let that be the thing that sinks into your heart. Let God transform you by the way you think. So, Father, I pray for the church this morning. I won't go back on my word. I'll let them out early. I pray that you transform us by the way we think. You change us, Lord God, into your image more and more. We would be aglow. We're the kind of people you can send us to pray for our enemies. We can be the kind of vessels that just, you say jump and we say how high. Father, put us in right alignment that we could be evil conquerors again. For your glory, and the church said amen. Amen. Hug a brother or sister on your way out the door before you leave, please.